Jerry in your prayers. All right. It's good to have Brother House, and appreciate him and enjoy the message. If you didn't get to hear the message, you can go online and listen to them. I'd encourage you to do that. And just been a great, great week. Now, tonight, it's a short message tonight, so we just kind of push him out. But we're glad he's come.
Have you ever gone anywhere and just really felt unwanted? Or maybe unnecessary would be a better word. Just coddling me. Well, I want to thank you for doing that. And I want to thank the pastor for letting us be here and be a part of the meeting. And then the church for your investment in our ministry month after month now for many, many years. I am going to be brief tonight because you have a good bit of very important things coming. Not any more important than the preaching, but I've got a head start on that. I've been preaching since Sunday morning, so I've kind of got a head start on it. But this thing of stewardship, we can boil it down any way we want to. And actually, it always comes down to one thing, and that's obedience. Just simple obedience. You see, the tithe is commanded. And then God puts on our heart and makes our spirit willing for an offering. And so all we have to do is to be obedient. If you'll open your Bible to John chapter 14, I just want to leave one little thought with you tonight. This is one of those profound verses. All the big words in it that nobody can understand. Absolutely amazing verse. Jesus has started off over there in chapter 14. Almost everyone that's been saved very long can start quoting right there in verse 1. I mean, it's just a wonderful, wonderful, let not your heart be troubled thing. It's all wrapped up in Jesus Christ. Said, you believe in God, believe also in me. Then he goes into that mansion thing that he's preparing for us. And he continues along that, just making sure. He says, you know, you remember Thomas came to him. Well, he was there and Jesus was announcing that he was going to depart and that they could follow. And you remember Thomas? Thomas looked, evidently he looked bewildered and said, Lord, we don't know the way. How can we follow you? We don't know the way. Remember what Jesus told him? You're looking at it, Thomas. I am the way. Amen. And folks all over the world looking for the way. And Jesus said, I'm the way. And he's the answer to all of it. And so he teaches those profound things down through here. And then he comes to verse 15, all these big words in it. If you love me, keep my commandments. I suppose that's just too many big words for us to understand. What did Jesus say? If you love me, do what I say. And if you want to flip that, if you're not going to do what I say, don't go around telling people you love me. Because you don't. You know, it's an amazing thing when you think about it. The song, a lot of our old songs are really good old songs. And one of them that's used in an invitation so many times, trust and what's the word? Obey, for there's no other way to be what? Happy in Jesus, but trust and obey. See, it doesn't say trust. It says trust and obey. And then the emphasis here is, if you love me, keep my commandments. I would think from 50 years of experience that the problem in most Christians' lives is disobedience. We had a phone call at home today. And It was a preacher calling, a friend of ours, going through his wife left him for another man, and you know, that kind of thing. So it's a catastrophe. And he was talking about his wife. He'd been meeting with her and, you know, trying to do whatever he can to resolve things. And she told him, she said, "Now, you know, I want you to know, I know that I'm saved, but I'm just sick of this church thing. I don't want nothing to do with it. Now, I'm nobody's judge, do you understand? So maybe she is saved, but I can promise you tonight, she doesn't love the Lord." I mean, we're down to it now. Why some folks are here and some are not. Why you can count on some and you can't on others. Why some obey and others don't. It's an amazing thing. "If you love me, keep my commandments." And yet, we could ask every Christian we come to. You can ask them that hadn't been to church in 5 years. You can ask them to come to church every service, see if they start trouble. And you ask them the question, "Do you love the Lord?" What are they going to tell you? "Absolutely, I love the Lord." You see, I think the problem's in that definition of love. Don't you imagine? See, love covers a multitude of sins today. I have preacher friends that I wonder about sometimes. They'll come in front of a congregation like this. They've never been there in their life. And they'll look out and say, "I just want you folks to know I love every one of you." And I think, malarkey. He don't even know you. If he knew you like I knew you, it'd be a different story. I know that's probably okay. I have them, we'll be talking on telephone. I'll say bye. They'll say I love you. Bam, I hang it up. I ain't telling no man I love him. I know that's sad. But when I was growing up, we didn't use the L word at our house. Some of you old folks know what I'm talking about. We didn't. You say, "Oh, don't you think folks loved you?" Well, I'm pretty sure they did. But they showed it. They didn't talk about it all the time. Just didn't do it. And to this day, because they didn't say that, I have a hard time saying it. And when I go over on the East Coast to preach, the Carolinas and down through, I just have to announce when I start, I say, "Folks, I want you to understand, I am not a hugger. Because they're going to try to hug you. I ain't hugging no man. Water won't let me hug a woman, so I just ain't hugging." But love, what does it really mean? The world today is confused it with lust. But love, when Jesus said, "If you love me," did he mean that we get our praise and worship team up here and for about 15 minutes we sing, "Jesus, I love you"? I don't think so. I think it goes much further than that. I think it goes much further than lips. Amen. You remember what Jesus said about those Pharisees and hypocrites? He said, "Oh yeah, you honor me with your lips, but your heart's far from me." See, this is the seat of our emotions here. So what did Jesus mean when he said, "If you love me"? Well, really, I wouldn't have a clue except it's stuck in there in the Bible in Mark chapter 12. No need of you turning there. The preacher didn't give me enough time. But stuck over there, Jesus was teaching. And one of those lawyer-type folks was kind of impressed by it. And he come up and said, he was bragging on the Lord. And he said, "Now tell me, what's the great commandment?" You want to know what the biggie was. You remember what the Lord told him? It's amazing what he said. The great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy strength. I mean, you're just to love the Lord with everything that's in you, you see. And we're to do that. Put our heart into it. Put our soul into it. Put our mind into it. Put our strength into it. That's what he's talking about. You see, when you get your heart into it, that's the reality of it. You're hooked then. Some of you old guys in the twilight of life now, remember when you met the love of your life? You remember the first time you told her, "I love you with all my heart"? Your goose was cooked right then. You were done for. It's over. Case settled. And you just, you know, it gets real when it gets down in your heart. We have folks who sing, "I'll be true to you till death," and don't show up Sunday night, much less to death. And then you said you love them with all your soul. That's sort of our responsiveness to that love. That's when the soul gets in. That's no private part held back then. That we don't hold on to stuff then, you see. And everything looks better. And then he said, with all your mind. See, I hear occasionally some spiritual intellect will tell me, "You know, it's just not reasonable to give like you talk about giving. What the Bible says there is not reasonable." No, it's reasonable. You can keep your mind and do it. You don't have to check your brain at the back door. Matter of fact, in the Bible, there's an encouragement to reason. Come now, and let us reason together. Because, you know, it's the most reasonable thing in the world. What Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 leave us with? Talked about that. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, which is your what? Reasonable service. And we want to get hung up on a dime out of a dollar and a little offering on top of that, and we think that's unreasonable? Good night in the morning. And then it says, with all your strength. All of your strength. See, all that I have is to be wrapped up in that love. All of my emotional strength, all of my physical strength, all of my spiritual strength, all of my financial strength, everything that I have is to be wrapped up in there. If you love me. And so I reckon you ought not say you love Jesus if you don't obey him. If you don't tithe, you really ought not say you love Jesus. If you don't give to prove, 2 Corinthians 8 says, to prove the sincerity of your love, I don't think you ought to say, "I love Jesus." You say, "Well, I do love Jesus." No, no, I'm not talking about the way we say, "I love you, see you later." No, I'm talking about the great commandment, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength." That'll change everything. Won't have to have these kind of meetings anymore. Somebody said amen and amen. You know, you don't read your Bible. You don't pray. Don't talk too much about how you love Jesus. And you know, we get this thought, well, why didn't God just create us where we couldn't help but do that? Where we didn't have to get up and vote on it every morning. Well, he wouldn't get much glory out of that if we couldn't help but serve him like that, would he? It's a choice we make. He wants us to choose to obey him because we love him. And so you have a wonderful opportunity to get a fresh start now. Another year. God didn't owe us this year. He gave it to us. I guess that's the reason it's called the present, isn't it? And we need to understand it. And we need to get tied into it. And we need to realize it's nothing more or less than a love issue. We used to do an old Sunday school program. Preacher probably remember. It's been years now. But it's called Prove Your Love. And the way you proved your love was you showed up, number one. Number two, you brought your Bible. Number three, you brought your offering. And you just proved your love. I think it'd be a good one for you folks to get into without putting a poster on, just down in your heart saying, "I'm going to prove my love this year. I'm going to obey. You think you'd ever get hurt just saying, I'm going to do what God tells me to do? I don't think so. And for young people, well, that is a good crowd of young people. Some of the boys are pretty ugly, but the girls are pretty. Boys can't help it. You guys ought to get in on this. You got a commitment card a while ago. Every man, every woman, every teenager, and every child ought to make one out. You say, oh, my husband's the only one that works. So you're thinking about tithe. You got to have income to tithe. We're talking about an offering. All you got to do to have, make an offering is have a word from God. So everybody ought to make a commitment now on that offering thing and let God prove himself to you while you prove him. Bow your head, please. Every head's bowed, every eye's closed. I'm going to ask the pastor to come and continue the service as I conclude with prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that somehow in your divine providence you decided to let us choose whether we would follow thee or not. Choose to obey. And I ask you tonight to move upon the hearts of your people to see that there's no greater life and there's no happiness nor joy outside of trusting and obeying. And we'll thank you and praise you for it in Jesus' name.